Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
What's up? My name is Paolo. I am a hardworking, correct, and fair man. I don't like to fight with anyone, and I usually go unnoticed wherever I go. You would think that being like this, I live a very quiet life. You would be wrong. Life is often very unfair, and I suffered something terrible. Something that many of you may not understand, but it is among the worst things that can happen to a human being. Before I tell you about that horrible night, I need to give you some context. My story was not very well heard, and even though I tried to tell it to the police and on the news, everyone said they were going to help me. But no one really tried. Do you know why this is? Because I was born in the wrong place, in the wrong world. I was born and raised in Brazil. And although Brazil is a beautiful place, my parents were really poor people living in Rocinha, a favela in Rio de Janeiro. The people in Rocinha are very hardworking, but like any favela, it is generally very poor and quite dangerous. Nobody knows what happens in Rocinha, or rather, nobody cares. For as long as I can remember, I did everything I could to get out of here. I got a job, studied as much as I could, and saved a lot. But I couldn't leave. My wife Helena had all her family in Rocinha, and to tell you the truth, I had mine too. We had a baby, so we knew we would be leaving at any moment. We just needed a little more courage to leave our families in the favela, a little more money to be able to leave, a little more for everything. But then, that day happened. That day, I was a little late before I got home. I was one of the few people who worked on Sundays, and I was coming home from work late at night, so the streets were pretty dark and lonely. Many of you may not know this, but favelas tend to be very closed and dangerous, especially at night. Over time, a person who lives in favelas learns to navigate them, but nothing could have prepared me for what was about to happen that night. I was a few blocks from my house when behind me, there was someone following me. I didn't know at what point he started walking behind me. Maybe a long time ago, maybe a few seconds before I noticed, but he was following me. I subtly turned around to see if it was a teenager with a ball, or maybe a lady. I wanted to convince myself either way that the person behind me was not dangerous. When I turned around, I was confronted with a horrifying image. It was a person dressed as Mickey. To make it worse, this wasn't just any Mickey. It was a nightmarish version of him. He was big, dull, and ghoulish. The man was following me at the same speed, but I could see his head pointing towards me, indicating that he was looking at me. Is someone following someone else at that time, on that day, and disguised like that? This was bad. Very bad. I didn't even try to hide that I knew he was following me. I took a deep breath, and as surprisingly as I could, I ran as fast as I could to my house. As soon as I got inside, I looked through the hole in the door, but I didn't see anyone. Another problem with the favelas is that all the houses are almost next to each other, so we have little space to look at. I went to my room almost crying from nerves and went to my wife, who received me in surprise. I told her everything that was happening, and although she tried to calm me down, I could tell she was as scared as I was. As soon as I had a chance to relax, I left all my things on a chair and went upstairs to see the baby. He was sleeping peacefully in the room. To tell the truth, I was a little envious of him. Peaceful, sleeping, without a care or fear in the world.
Helena, you scared me. What's wrong?
There are people behind the door. I was about to take out the garbage, but then I remembered what you thought, so I looked through the latch, and I saw them. They're like the man who followed you before, but there are so many of them.
I don't know how to explain the feelings I had when Helena told me that. A shiver ran through my whole body, and I felt my whole body go numb. That man, he had followed me. I had taken him to my family's house, and not only that, but he had brought more people like him. I looked out the window of the baby's room where I could see down. There they were. There were five of them, all in similar costumes, representing a different Disney character. They were all facing the front door, except Minnie. She was looking out the window. As soon as Minnie saw me, they all moved their heads up and also looked at me without making any other move. I closed the window, and breathing heavily, I told my wife to stay with the baby while I called the police. The police here? It's a bit of a problem. They can hardly access the favelas since the circulation inside them is very complicated. And the criminal level is so high that the cops can hardly respond to calls of danger. Don't confuse me. The right thing to do was to call them, but I knew it was going to be very difficult to count on them. As soon as I finished the call, someone started knocking on the door. I knew it was them. Why were they knocking on my door? Did they want to tell me something? No. They were probably trying to scare me. I ran to the kitchen and grabbed a knife, ready to defend the house in case they wanted to come in. I knew there were a lot of them, but what could I do? Let them hurt my wife and son? I slowly approached the door. Someone was still banging on it. The knocking was steady and calm. Every step I took, I could feel it getting louder and louder. I looked through the hole in the door, and there he was. Mickey was banging on the other side. But something was wrong. He was alone.
Ah, Paolo!
The scream came from the room upstairs. It was my wife. Did they come in through the window? I ran up the stairs, and as I reached the room, I could see Minnie holding my wife and covering her mouth, while other stalkers were coming up the stairs. Before I could go in to defend my family, one of them slammed the door in my face. In desperation, I pounded and kicked on the door, but it wouldn't open. They had locked it. It was a desperate and horrible few seconds where I was so distracted trying to get into the room that I didn't realize what was happening below me. The front door had been kicked in. I kept trying to ram the door of the room to get in, but suddenly, I felt an impact on my ankle and fell. When I turned around to see the source of my pain, I realized that Mickey was behind me with a stick. I tried to get up to defend myself, but it was pointless. Mickey hit me again with another stick in the back, and I fell again. Already on the ground, the man disguised as a mouse hit me again and again. My screams were getting louder and louder. I was screaming, but I was also crying. I wasn't crying for what they were doing to me or for the terrifying man who had broken into my house. I was crying for my wife and son, and because I could do nothing to defend them. Having a good time, the terrifying psychopath grabbed me by the hair and threw me down the stairs. The fall was much more painful than I imagined it would be. I tried to get up, but the pain was too much. I couldn't feel one of my legs and one of my arms, and I used all my strength to stand up. I fell again. Meanwhile, Mickey was coming down the stairs. He was coming down slowly, knowing that I couldn't move or defend myself. What he didn't know was that I wasn't going to give up. A little calmer, I grabbed the knife that I had hidden in my pants, and that by a miracle, I hadn't stuck it in me falling down the stairs and waiting for him. The strategy was simple. Wait for Mickey to approach, stick the knife in his feet, and attack him when he falls to the ground. I waited and waited until the last moment, and when he was next to me, I grabbed the knife and tried to stab him, but it was useless. He dodged me easily and kicked me violently in the face. The knife went flying a few meters. I was once again at the mercy of Mickey, who began to slowly step on my face as if I were a cockroach. Before Mickey could continue torturing me, I heard a whistling sound coming from the staircase. As I looked in the direction of the sound, I saw Minnie walking with my baby, leaving the house. Mickey pulled me up by my hair and forced me to watch as Minnie and the rest of the characters naturally left my house. After a few seconds, it was all over. Mickey let go of me and left too. I was left crying on the floor, crawling down the stairs to get my wife. She was alive, and I could also hear her crying in the room, just as hurt and wounded as I was. We both ended up in the hospital and survived that night, but the cost was the highest possible. Our baby had been kidnapped. The police said they would do everything they could to find him, but we knew it was an impossible task, and so it was. We never heard from him again. We are still waiting for a ransom call, someone saying they have information on him, or the police saying they found him. Since we were born in the wrong part of the world, possibly not many know about this story that has not yet been closed. I don't have anything else to tell you. I don't think there is a lesson or anything to learn from this. All my wife and I want is to find our son. Maybe by the time you hear this story, he will have appeared. Maybe not. We don't give up hope. We have faith that someday we will find him. And even if years have passed since he was a baby, we will recognize him. Parents always recognize their children.
Growing up, I was a big fan of Mickey Mouse. I love the idea of a mouse who has a girlfriend, a duck as a friend, and a dog as his pet. He was a source of entertainment and joy for me and my siblings. I've even seen the black and white cartoon of Mickey Mouse, and he was one of my favorite cartoons growing up. So, when I had my first child, I decided to throw a Mickey Mouse-themed 5th birthday party for him. My wife and I thought that he would be able to remember the birthday, so we decided to make it as grand as we could. We invited all our family and friends, and even his friends from kindergarten. But the highlight of the party wasn't the cake or the decorations, or even the presents. It was Mickey Mouse and his friends. We hired people to dress up as Mickey and his friends to greet and spend time with all the kids present at the party, especially my son, who, because of me, was also a big Mickey Mouse fan as well. The party started as a normal one, where everyone we knew was present. The kids were in the yard, entertained by the various games and other activities we had arranged for them, while the adults mingled inside the home, sipping wine and enjoying the food. Me and my wife, Laura, were so happy to see our little champ having fun on his birthday with his friends. But the real surprise was yet to come. We asked Mickey and his friends to arrive just before we were about to cut the cake. As time approached, we saw a minivan parked in front of the house and assumed it was the costume people, as it would be tough to drive or travel in a car wearing those huge costumes. Finally, we gathered in the backyard to cut the cake, and every single guest, including the kids and the adults, were there. My wife and I were standing on either side of our son as he was ready to blow out his candles and cut the cake. We knew at any moment now, Mickey Mouse and his friends would show up, and just as we were about to start singing the birthday song, they did. But to our utter surprise, all the costumes were old and somewhat dirty. We had expected them to dress similarly to the ones you see in Disneyland, but these people were dressed very shabbily. I wanted to make it a point to them that we'd spent a good amount of money on them for them to be dressed like this. But I decided against it, as all the kids were jumping with joy just by seeing Mickey and his friends. My son, too, was grinning and couldn't wait to meet Mickey. As the person dressed as Mickey approached us, my son shook hands with him and wanted to cut the cake with him. We moved aside, and the cake-cutting ceremony happened as planned. Right after that, instead of eating the cake, my son and all his friends gathered around Mickey and his friends. The kids were climbing into the laps of their favorite cartoon characters and even clicking pictures with them. Although their appearance wasn't what we had expected, seeing my boy happy made me smile too. Soon, most of the adults walked into the house, including me and my wife, and the kids were outside playing with Mickey and the others. All of us adults were so engrossed in talking that none of us noticed another van parked in front of our home. And before we knew it, there was a Mickey, Minnie, Donald Duck, and a Goofy standing in our living room. Their costumes were impeccable, and they were in character looking for the birthday boy, our son. Everyone was confused as the costume-wearing people had already arrived at the time of the cake cutting and were outside playing with the kids right now. That's when my attention snapped towards the backyard, and I saw all the kids playing by themselves. No trace of Mickey or any of his friends. I ran out and called to my son, but I didn't receive a reply. By now, all the people were worried as we understood what had happened. My wife started looking for my son frantically throughout the house, but he was nowhere to be found. I walked inside and held Mickey Mouse. "Who are you?" I yelled. The poor guy took off his huge Mickey head and told me that he and his team were sent by the costume company that we had hired for the party. When I looked outside, the van they had arrived in had the logo of the company, plus each one of them had an ID card issued by the company. "Where is he?" I asked my wife, who was on the brink of tears. She had no answer. My son had been kidnapped from his own birthday party. My brother called the cops while we asked the kids who were around him what had happened. Most of them were 5 and below, so I knew we couldn't expect much from them. But one of my son's friends, Jim, had seen the Mickey Mouse taking him towards the back gate to give him a special present. My son had not returned after that, and the characters had left one by one. The cops soon arrived, and both of us were a mess. I had not expected this wonderful day to turn out like that. My wife was sobbing, and I was about to cry as well. The cops questioned everyone present at the party, even the kids, and began their investigation immediately. Every cop in the city was notified about a missing 5-year-old blonde boy. The afternoon turned to evening, and we received a call. It was a call for a ransom of $2 million for my son's life. We didn't have that kind of money. We had somehow managed to scrape up $500,000, and some of our close friends and family had collected another $500,000, but we were still $1 million short for the ransomed amount. The cops were trying their best to find our son, but they had no lead so far. We hadn't even received a second call from the kidnappers yet. I know we often see situations like this in movies, but the reality is much more brutal. Finally, at midnight, we received the second call, and the kidnappers had asked me to drop the money at a given address by the afternoon. But the cops had asked me to ask for proof of life, to see if my son was alive or not. So before the call ended, I got a minute to talk to my son, and he seemed all right. The cops had no leads, so the only thing they could do was to catch the kidnapper red-handed the next day. Somehow I managed to put my wife to bed, but I couldn't sleep for a single minute knowing my kid was in danger. Around 5 in the morning when I was sitting in my living room, a cop car stopped in front of our house and my son jumped from it and ran towards me. I couldn't believe that he was back home, safe, in my arms. I broke down in sobs, and hearing him giggle, my wife woke up too. The two cops who were there to drop him off told us how they found him. Turns out, someone had called the entertainment company after us and told them that the birthday party was rescheduled and that they were wanted an hour later than they were intended to arrive. The cops traced that number to a warehouse in our city. Plus, this case matched five other missing cases similar that had happened in other states. When they raided that warehouse, they found the whole gang, and my little boy was locked up in a closet-like room. Fortunately, he thought that it was all a game, and he wasn't scared at all. But every minute without him was soul-sucking for me and my wife, and we were so thankful to the cops for taking quick action and finding my boy. But ever since that day, I could never look at a Mickey Mouse the same way, nor could I ever trust anyone wearing a cartoon costume again.